Good morning, NBCC. Good morning. My name is Jamel Agustin, and I am so excited to be here with you today. This week is the fourth week of our Power Message series, and it's going to be great. I want to give a huge shout out to those joining us online, a huge shout out to our Redwood City campus, and a huge shout out to our San Jose campus. Make some noise. You guys are so awesome. I love all of you guys. And again, I am excited to share God's word with you. It's going to be a good time. If this is your first time tuning in, Pastor Herman has done some profound teaching on power. And I encourage you to check out those previous messages. You can find them on YouTube or you can visit our webpage. The focus for this series comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, and it reads, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." Today, I'd like to talk about how we can use power for the betterment of others and to the glory of God. Today, we're going to talk about power in community. Please join me in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And it reads, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. We thank you for your word. We make space for you right now, O Lord. Speak to us. Speak through me, O Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love this passage because every time I read it, I'm like, this is a good time. Like, I just picture food on the table, maybe, you know, these apostles are crammed in a room, but it's all good. It's a good time, right? They're sharing their joys and sorrows with one another. They're praying for one another. They're teaching and they're learning and they're engaging in God's word. But it doesn't stop there. What's really cool is as you read this, they go out. They go out with God's power, performing signs and wonders. They shared what they had with those in need. They worshiped together. They communed together. They did this over and over. And the result, verse 47 says, "The Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." This community of believers understood what Pastor Herman said last week. They understood that they were on this planet to be loved and blessed by God and to love God by blessing others. They evangelized, they studied, they worshiped, they served others. This is evidence of God's power in a community of believers. This is the church. Isn't that powerful? Now, I know some of you may be listening to me today and you're like, that's cool. That's nice, but I'm good. Because the truth is, most of us have had some type of weird or even heartbreaking experience in church. Some of us have witnessed an abuse of power in the church through titles and roles. Some of us have really been wounded by the church. There might be someone who really loves the church. Maybe you love the community of believers, and in the past you volunteered your time, your resources, your gifts, but now you're burnt out. And you thought you were in this loving community, but no one has even checked on you. So you checked out. If we're honest, being a part of a community doesn't always entice us because people are a mess. There are some messy people, right? But guess what? Jesus knows exactly where we're coming from. Think about it. Jesus did life with the disciples, and two of them flipped on him. Like Peter, he was the loudest one in the room talking about, God, if anybody leaves you, it's all good because I'll be there. And that same night, he denied knowing Jesus. And we know about Judas, right? Betrayed Jesus. And then I think about myself. All the times I broke Jesus's heart. Jesus knows all about messy people. But the good news is that he still died for me. He still died for you. He still died for this world. He died to our sins so that we may be in relationship with him, that we may be in community with him and others. And that, guys, is the gospel. The gospel is that God sent Jesus into the world to dwell among us, to be close to humanity, to experience life with others in joy and sorrow. See, sin separated us from God, but Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we may be reunited with him. Yes, we'll go to heaven one day, but he's given us his presence here and now on earth with his Spirit. God went through extreme measures so we can continue to experience his grace, his love, his joy, his power. And guess where we experience that? In community, with others. It's in the community of believers where responsibilities are divided and we see God at work in and through each of us. It's in the community of believers where I celebrate my brother or sister that is gifted in an area that I'm weak in. It's in the community of believers where we find belonging. It's a place where we find broken people blessed by a loving Father. It's in a community of believers where we experience the power of the one and only living God. Author and theologian Robert J. Banks argues that the gospel is not a personal matter, but a communal affair. He states, "To embrace the gospel is to enter into community." Did you catch that? The gospel is not just for you. The gospel is for everyone. So we tell people about Jesus and what he's done for us, what he's done for the world, in hope that they too will follow him, in hope that they too will join the community of believers. So we make room. We make space for others to join us. Guys, we have to fight for community. We all have challenges that we face week after week that keep us from connecting to one another, but we work hard for it. That's why we push the connection card week after week so that we can connect with one another, because we need each other. And while forming relationships with people is hard, it's absolutely necessary because there's power in community. Last week, we marked 10 years of ministry at MBCC. And as we continue to celebrate, I encourage us to commit to several practices. You guys ready? I'm excited about these. Let's go to the first two, hospitality and service. Hospitality and service goes beyond being kind to others. They're actually expressions of love. Hospitality isn't just cleaning up the house or giving a seat to a neighbor. Hospitality makes room for people to belong and to share their gifts. Check out Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. It says, "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." We serve others by volunteering, feeding the hungry, offering childcare, hosting local clothing drives, donating money and materials. These are just a few ways we can serve and let our lights shine. In this, we also see generosity. If we can truly recognize that all we have is from God, then we will see what we give others is from God instead of us. Check out this photo. This is Praise and Pancakes Night at our San Jose campus. Each month, this life group meets in San Jose at our campus. They praise the Lord, and then they go out and serve pancakes with the community. It was great to see people come in, have pancakes, and go. And what really blessed me was a group of some of our MBCC partners actually take hot pancakes to our unhoused brothers and sisters so that they wouldn't lose their spot. And I couldn't help but think, whether they ever come to MBCC or not, my prayer is that they'll remember the church served them pancakes on a rainy Friday night. There's power in our service to others. Our next community practice is prayer. Guys, sometimes life hits us in a way and we just feel powerless. And Jesus tells us in John 16, "In this world you will have trouble." And we experience trouble. We experience trials, pain, and fear. But I'm encouraged by Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, that says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." There's power in prayer. Our next community practice is truth-telling. Our whole faith is based on truth, which is God's word. Truth-telling in a community helps build trust and keeps us from giving into the world's beliefs. Truth-telling has become less common in our world as it demands so much from us, even if it requires fabrication. The world bombards us daily with social media and ads that tempt us to adopt an identity that is not our own. Our world is in need of truth tellers. Now, let me be clear. The type of truth telling I'm suggesting isn't the type that is self-satisfying. You know, we sometimes say, "I'm gonna tell you like it is." Guys, we have to be careful as this type of truth telling mixes with our own opinion and it mixes up with God's truth. The truth telling I'm talking about is the truth from God's word. Check out Acts chapter 20, verse 32. The Message version reads, "Now I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends." And then there's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 that reads, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God's word is truth. It's his word that teaches us and corrects our thinking. A couple weeks ago, following the gathering here in San Jose, I hung out with a group of MBCC partners, and we're just hanging out right up here, sharing some of the things that we're dealing with, sharing scripture. And one young lady was just sharing what she was troubled with, just in her mind, some of her thoughts about herself. And someone else interrupted her and said, "Don't say those terrible things about yourself. Remember who you are in Christ. God loves you. You're chosen. You're wonderfully made. You were made in his image. You're his treasured possession. Don't forget that." Now, guys, that's the truth telling I'm talking about. If we listen and believe what God says about us, we will find peace and understanding that we're loved, forgiven, and chosen. So let's stand as unmovable men and women of truth. There's power in truth-telling. Our next community practice is forgiveness. You can't form deep relationships and not expect bumps along the way. We all have bad days, and therefore practicing forgiveness in our communities helps us to better give and receive grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 reads, "Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Family, we have to have a heart check when we're talking about forgiveness, because sometimes we want to just go around and tell people what they need to do. You need to forgive. And though that's true, we have to leave it up to them and the Lord to work those things out. Can you see the fine line of power, how it could work for good and how it can be easily twisted? Forgiving those who've wronged us is not easy, but it's important for us to practice forgiveness because without it, it keeps us divided. And that's exactly what the evil one wants to do. He wants to divide us. He wants to pick us off one by one. I remember a time in my life where I was taking my faith journey seriously. I was locked in to his word, locked in with the Lord, and I was invited to open up this really fancy event with two songs. And as we're praising the Lord, this was a fellowship of believers. As we were praising the Lord, the MC cut right in, like within 20 seconds of the song, and said, hey, we're not doing this right now. We're going to move on to, there's been a change in, you know, in our time together, in the agenda. And guys, I was so embarrassed. And I can talk about this now because I healed from it. But guys, I was so embarrassed. I just packed up my things. I ran out, and as I was going out, people were stopping me and encouraging me to, you know, not give up and to continue serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And they sent me text messages. They called me and they were like, "Jamil, forgive them. You know, keep going. Remember who you are. Remember why you're doing this." And guys, I cried myself to sleep. And the next day was Sunday. I had to get up and prepare for worship. At the time, I was helping lead worship at my church. And the MC showed up to my church and publicly apologized for what happened the day before. Guys, I didn't know I needed that apology. And as he apologized, as we hugged, I looked at him and I told him, "I forgive you." And it was in that moment, just looking at his face, to those three words, it made me realize how powerful it is for us to tell others, if we have the opportunity to tell others, I forgive you. Guys, there's power in forgiveness. Our last two community practices are testimony and gratitude. Testimony sharing should be a regular practice in our community because it reminds us that we serve a living and ever-present God. And let me just say to you, your experience of God's grace and goodness is just as effective as those written in the scriptures because it's a part of God's big story. When we hear testimonies of God's work in our lives, it positions us to a place of gratitude to God and one another. Showing gratitude to those in our communities, in our community, brings affirmation and encourages sustainability. There's power in your testimony. Guys, these things don't come naturally, but we pull from God's love as our power source. God's love has to be the foundation to these practices. And Acts 2 is happening right now in so many areas of MBCC. I've been blessed to see the young adults group grow over the past couple months. Guys, it is such a blessing to see them get together to study God's word, to celebrate birthdays, to just celebrate, to hang out. They took a trip to Santa Cruz to Prayer Mountain to pray together. They're serving together. They're living out Acts 2. And if you want to get connected, there are plenty of ways, different areas that you can connect with other people. I want to encourage you today. Continue to do your best. Try to connect. Keep showing up to our Sunday gatherings. Keep showing up to those places and spaces with the love and power of the living God. Let's walk this earth in the power that God gave us, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I leave you with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who was able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.